Good morning. It is so good to see everyone. It's good to be in God's house, and it's good to be alive and to worship and celebrate Him. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians, the third chapter, starting in verse 13. I'm going to read verses 13, 14, and 15 today. And when you get there, I'd like to ask those who can to please stand as I read from God's Word. We're going to be talking about pressing forward today. Boy, we need to press forward in this life. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way, and if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today we ask and pray, Lord, that you will help us to press forward, to press on, to go for the prize that you have called us to reach out for. And God, we ask and pray, Father, in this life that you would give us the strength and the endurance, Father God, as we live each day. And Father, we know that with you being our strength and our guide and our joy, we'll never grow weary, because your word says you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And we thank you for that promise. And now, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from your Holy Spirit and nothing from my thoughts or my flesh. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I've got a couple points that I want to really look on this morning with this message. And the first thing that I want to look at is devotion. And what I'm talking about by devotion is who and what we're devoting ourselves to. And you know what devotion is? Devoting yourself means you're making a commitment. And in Paul's writing here in the book of Philippians, Paul is expressing his devotion to God. And in our Christian life, when we got saved and we gave our hearts and lives to the Lord and we trusted Him, we are saying, well, God, you did this for us through your Son, Jesus, and now I want to live my life for you. I want to devote all that I have and all that I am. I want to devote it to you. In my daily prayer time, whether I'm driving and praying or praying at home, I always want to make sure that I ask the Lord that first that I submit and surrender to His will and His authority. That's devoting myself to God. Because, see, I want God's ways to be my ways. And I want God. Now, God gave us a free will, and I've preached that before, but I also ask God to take control of me. I said, Lord, I know you've given me a free will, but sometimes my free will gets in the way and I mess up. And I say, Lord, I want you to be in control of me. I want you to lead and guide and direct everything that I say and do and think, because I'm accountable. I am accountable to God for the things I say and do and what I preach in this pulpit. And I want to preach the Word. I don't want to preach somebody else's book. I don't want to get up here and preach some, you know, political jargon. And I don't want to preach some theology from somewhere else. I want to preach the Word of God because I am devoted to the Lord. And so Paul was saying, you know, this one thing that I do in verse 13, one thing I do. And what he was saying, that he is forgetting what is behind And he is pressing forward in this life. Now, there's a lot of people, and I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not. And I'm not making fun of or trying to make anybody feel bad. Because you know what? There's times I catch myself going back in the past. And when I go back in the past, I'm trying to fix something that's already happened. Or I'm looking back going, well, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have prayed more. I wish I would have witnessed more. I wish that I could have given of more of my time to the Lord. Or I wish I could have loved people more. Or we think on sad things that happened. Or you know, a lot of times I catch myself going, boy, I wish my grandparents were still here. I miss them so bad. I wish certain aunts and uncles were still here. But you know what? I could go back and wander in the past, but you know where it's going to get me? Absolutely nowhere. When we wander and stay back here, I mean, these are bridges basically that have already been burned, and you can't cross them. All you can do is you can look forward, you can look straight ahead. I had someone pointed out something really good to me one day. They said, you need to quit living your life by looking in the rearview mirror. When you're driving a vehicle and you look in the rearview mirror, they said, what's going to happen? I said, well, you're going to have an accident. You're either going to hit somebody or you're going to run off the road. And they said, right. They said, you've got this big windshield, and when you look out through your windshield, what do you see? I said, well, I can see a lot of things before me. And they go, exactly. They said, so don't look through the rear view mirror of your life and continue down life's highway. They said, if you look at what God has given you, there's such a broad view of opportunity out there that God has laid before you. And that's what God wants us to go after. God wants us to press forward. Keep going day by day. I can't go back to even yesterday and change some things. You know, when I got home yesterday, I went for a run and just got some exercise. And then I went back home and I was so sore and tired. I sat on the couch for a little bit and I really didn't do much. And I was going, boy, I wish today I was praying. I said, God, I wish I would have spent more time in prayer yesterday. Well, I can't change that. Today, you know what I can do? I can press forward and I can say, God, today I want to pray more, and I'm going to do that today. That's something I have on my goals for today. Do a little extra Bible reading and do some extra praying, because I know when I'm in the Word and when I'm praying, I'm in fellowship with God, and I know that God is speaking to me through His Word. And I know that I can conquer anything in this life because I am pressing forward. And one thing that we as believers must do is we have to devote ourselves to Christ. We have to devote. I mean total give it up. You have to give up every single thing, submit and surrender to His will and authority in order to live a godly life. And in order for Him to work in us, we have to give it all to Him. Basically, when we give it all to God, we're saying, Lord, I trust You. Have you ever seen or been a part of a group at church? We've done this a lot when I was a young guy in church. You would stand up and you would put your back to a bunch of people. And you would hear people behind you say, okay, go ahead and fall back. We'll catch you. Oh, I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know if I trust anybody. Are they really back there? That's how sometimes we live our life. God is saying, but see, God's not behind us. God should be out in front of us. And God is saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to have faith in me. Because see, if God made everything in this world, and if He put order to all that's around us, then don't you think He could take care of every need of our life? Don't you think He could take care of every problem? Don't you think that He could heal us? Don't you think that He can make us the witnesses we should be? Yes, He sure can. I've told you before, if I ever thought I'd be preaching, boy, I would have told you it's crazy. If somebody would have told me I'd been preaching years ago. Because I didn't think I was ever able. I had a hard time talking to one person face to face. And now my wife says you need something to lock your jaws together. Because she says you talk too much. But that's a good thing. Because when I talk to other people, I like to talk about the Lord. So I'm trusting God every day. And Paul, in this scripture, it is kind of considering this like it's like you would run a race. In this life, he's in a race. He's pressing forward. Now, if you ever notice, how many of you ever watched someone run a track race? Anybody ever seen someone run a track race? Have you ever seen them run backwards? No, not. If they run backwards, they're totally missing the mark. They're missing the whole object of the race. The object of the race is to be prepared, be ready, have your focus on, and to go forward, and whatever the length of that race is, they're to run that race with strength and endurance. Now, I watch these young kids, 18, 19, well, 15, 16-year-olds too in high school. Man, I get out there and watch some of them kids run a race, and they look like the road runner. And them little and they just go round and around and around so fast. And before I know it, they're done. And sometimes their time might be 7 or 8 minutes. They've run a mile and a half. And I'm like, my goodness, it takes me 20 minutes to run a mile and a half. And sometimes my legs are going, have we hit a mile yet? You know, it's. But it's conditioning that makes runners what they are in the race. And that's what Paul is kind of describing here. We as Christian people, we are running a race. And we have got to be ready. We have got to be strengthened. And whatever the race calls for, we must run that race. And we must persevere and endure it until the end of the time of our life. You see, we don't know how much time we have on the face of this earth. A lot of us get the thought, well, I'm 25 years old. I got a long road ahead of me. I'll make these decisions later. Well, you know what? I was telling some of the ladies earlier, We had a call at the funeral home the other night, and we had a 44-year-old young lady passed away, 44, who'd taken some health issues. So see, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised this afternoon. So in this life, in this race, we have got to be front and center like a runner would for their coach. See, the coach is expecting that runner to perform. And you know what that coach is doing on the sidelines of the track? Have you ever watched these coaches? Man, they're just shouting and screaming at them. Come on, you can do it. Run faster. I believe in you. And I often wonder, I don't know because I've not seen God and I don't know what God does in heaven, but I often have wondered, in this mind of mine that thinks some of the things it does God stand up and cheer us on? I don't know. Maybe He does. But I do know that God gives us love and encouragement. And I know that God is up there saying, you can do it because He has given us His Son, Jesus. And through that death, burial, and resurrection, we have been given power and authority that we as Christians, as human beings, can endure the race. We're going to face a lot of things. Now, I want to kind of tie a runner back into this again. Sometimes runners have injuries, like legs, ankle, knee, foot, whatever, hip, back. And you know what? These things all take play. When I go run, I have to tape my left knee up. I use that sports tape and tape it up, get strength. because my knee gets to hurting sometimes. And yesterday, I started running, and I had no sooner got 4/100ths of a mile into that first mile, and my knee started hurting, and it started talking back to me, and I thought, I can't do this. So, but instead of quitting, I slowed down a little, and I started saying, okay, I can do this. Just walk it out. Walk it out. And then I took off. When I felt good, I took off running, got that thing warmed up, and I started running, and I finished. I finished what I set out to do. I set out to do 6 miles. I finished 6 miles. And when I got back to my truck, I was sore and tired, but I never gave up. I didn't think I was going to make it back up one hill. And I just kept saying, Lord, please give me the strength. If I have to walk it, I'll walk it. But give me the strength to get there and to get back to my vehicle. And exactly, He did that. And in this life, there are storms and things that we will face. Death, sickness, disease. Things are going to happen. And we're not exempt from it as Christians. But God has given us everything we need to encounter those moments, to run this race. But mostly, as a Christian, as a witness, we're going to run into times where we witness to people and they're not going to receive what we say. But it doesn't mean that we quit. It doesn't mean that we give up and do something else. What it means is we say, Lord, You just help me to keep loving and talking to these people, and You lead and guide and direct me. Because when we're witnessing for the Lord and when God is speaking through us, it may not happen right then and there, but when we're devoted to God and when we're drawing strength from Him and we're getting His guidance, God takes care of planting the seed, or where we've planted the seed. And God will take care of sowing the seed. God takes care of the heart of the person that we've witnessed to. So no matter what you're going through in life, you've got to train and be strong like a runner. Runners, they lift weights, they eat the right food, they take their vitamins, and they run a lot, and they practice and practice. And even when they don't feel like it, they still get out there and practice. And in this life, as Christian people, we have got to pray, read God's Word. We have got to remain steadfast in this Word. And then we too, even when we're tired, we can find that second wind, as we call it in the running world, the second wind to keep on going. And that's when God puts His hand upon us and says, child, I want you to rise up and keep marching forward. Because you know what's going to happen? When we reach the end of the race, when we reach that prize, we're going to lay down the cross that we've been carrying through this life. We're going to lay down that old heavy cross, and we're going to experience the riches and the joy and everything that God has laid out for us. You know, I've said many times, yes, I wish my grandpa was still here, because there's some things I would like for him to, you know, to talk to me about in the ministry, because he was a pastor for over 60 years. He started as a young man, and for over 60 years he pastored. But you know what? My grandpa couldn't. He's not the one who could carry me through life, and I sure wouldn't want him to come back down here from heaven. I was talking to someone about that the other day. They said, you know, I wish my dad was still here. And I said, well, you know what? I know that in our life we'd want that. But I said, your dad's in heaven. He's not in that sick body anymore. Why would you want him to come back to that? They say, well, because I just wanted this more time, or I wanted to say this. Do it now. Why you've got that somebody, do it now. Tell them about Jesus. Tell that family member you love them. Ask for forgiveness. I got a ladybug trying to. Yeah, she's trying to get in my ear. Ain't going to find much up there. So, but If you need to ask somebody for forgiveness or make something right in a relationship, do it now, before time is too late. So in this race, there's so many obstacles to overcome, but God is leading us through each and every one of them. We have to concentrate on the power that's working within us. Don't concentrate on yourself, because if you trust in yourself, you're going to fall flat on your face and you'll get nowhere. We've got to concentrate and put our focus on the one who died for us, the one who knew no sin, that became sin on the cross and shed his blood. If we focus our lives on him, he will lead us every step of the way, and he will take care of every need. Actually, if you go over today, if you get a chance, look at Philippians chapter 4 and see what God supplies for you. It says he supplies all your needs. He'll supply all your need. Now, some people would say, well, that's just what they were writing to those people in the Bible. The Bible is for us as well. So you read that scripture. God supplies all of our need. He'll supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Read that later today and meditate on that. Secondly is direction. We have to be future-oriented. That's what Paul was doing. See, basically, Paul was looking at God, what do you want me to do today? Now, I ain't talking about tomorrow, but Paul is saying, what would you have me to do? I wonder how his prayer times were. What do you want me to do, God? Who do you want me to witness to? Put somebody or some people in my path today that I might be a blessing to them. And you know what? The biggest blessing we could ever be sometimes is just a smile or give a hug. Do you know that a smile or a hug are the most powerful words that are never spoken? It's so true. It is so true. I told you the story a while back about that lady that smiled at that man, and he told her, if you hadn't smiled at me that day, I was going to go kill myself. But he said, when you smiled at me, I started going to church and finding out why. He said, I knew you were a Christian. I could just tell it. Do people know that you're a Christian by looking at you, by how you talk and how you conduct yourself? Do people know that we're Christians by the life we live? See, our fruits will show who we are and what we're made of. Our fruits bear it. People can look in us, and people can see whether there's light or darkness. My wife's boss, I went to go pick her up one day. I was going to stop in there and get her some lunch and see what she wanted. And when I walked into her place of work, her boss's daughter, Libby, dear sweet young girl, loves the Lord. She walked up to me, and I said, hi, Libby. I gave her a big hug. I said, honey, you just keep getting prettier and prettier as the days go by. And she just smiled. And something she said to me while she was talking to me, she says, can I say something to you? I said, sure. She said, I want to tell you, you've got the kindest eyes. She said, when I look in your eyes, I see Jesus. And she said, I see love. And I thought, it ain't me, it's him. It's him living in me. It ain't nothing to do with me. I could say I'm no good, but you know what? He lives in me, so I am something good. I hear a lot of Christians say that. By the way, get rid of the negativity in your life. I want to say that for one thing. If you're going to go forward, we got to get rid of the negativity. We got to get rid of the sin. Every Christian person, I guarantee, is guilty of it. We're not perfect. I'm going to raise my hand first and let you know I am not perfect. And I got so much that I need to work on in my life. And that's, I'm going to work on me first before I go to somebody else. My granny used to tell me, she'd say, you sweep your own porch before you go sweep your neighbor's porch. Because while you're she said, if you go to your neighbor's porch and start sweeping it, and you're going to tell them how they need to clean this up, but you go look at your own porch you haven't touched, it's more dirtier than his ever was. A lot of words to think on right there. Thank God for my granny and the wisdom that she had. But we've got to get rid of the negative. If we're going to press forward, if we're going to go and be future-oriented, and I'm not talking about planning days ahead, I'm talking about today. Today, the future's today. What do you want me to do, God? And whatever it is, give me the strength and the guidance and the wisdom to do it so that I can be the best witness I can be for you. And then lastly, forget the past. Forget the past. There are successes and there are failures in the past. Forget about them, because they're not going to do a single thing for you. They won't. The past won't do a thing for you. I talk to so many people who are hung up on how they were raised wrong, or who done this or that wrong, or whatever it may be. Well, I'll just share this. I won't say who it was, but there was a person in my life who was abusive. There was a person in my life who did not love. And I used to go around thinking, what's wrong with me? What did I do? It wasn't me. But the time came that that person, one day I was talking with them, said to me, and they were crying. They said, I did a lot of bad things. Please forgive me. I said a lot of bad things to you. Please forgive me. And just wept. Well, easily I could have, you know, gave them that blow of words. I could have retaliated in anger that was buried in the flesh. But at that moment, I heard the Lord speak to me and say, remember, I forgive you when you mess up. That came so quick to me, and I forgave that person. But I used to live my life on that hurt, and I held such an unforgiveness that it kept me bound for a long time. And when I finally decided to let it go, telling you what, I started growing more and more in my walk. So what I'm saying, whether it's negative or whether it's good in your past, forget it. Go on. Forgive. If that person has passed on already, tell God you forgive them and get it out of your heart once and for all, so that you can be healed in your heart and in your life, and that you can love, that you can press forward. See, I believe God gave this message today. You know what? Because there was somebody else that was causing me some angst. And yesterday I was praying and I finally said, God, I forgive them. I let go. I let go. And I had the best peace yesterday all day for that one thing I've been holding on to. Because I can't change that person. God can. So I have to give it to Him. Lord, it's all in Your hands. Whatever it is You want to do, Lord, work it. I can't, you know, I could go over to Milton's house. I'm waking him up now. I could go over to Milton's house and say, now, Milton, you need to do this, this, and this, and be loving to court. But, you know, I could go over and tell him everything he needs to do, but, and I could try to change him, but I can't do it. Can I, Milton? I can't change you, sir. I love you, brother, and I hug you and all that. I could encourage you, but I can't change you. You know who's got to change him? God has to. And if Milton came to me and says, well, Jim, would you please pray for me for this, this, and this? And I'd keep it between him and I. And I would say, you know what, Lord? Milton loves you. And I know he submits to you. And I just pray You'll help him with these things. Change him in these areas. But one thing I need to do first, change me, Lord. Let me look beyond the surface of here and let me see what needs to be brought out and confessed so that I can ask for forgiveness and get rid of it so I could be what you want me to be. So forget the past. Forget it. Start focusing on today, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed tonight. But right now, if Jesus came back right now and that trumpet sounded, we're all taken out of here. What is God going to say to us? What's the Lord going to say to us when we stand before Him? What's going to be on our plate before Him? Because when we stand before Him, I mean, everything we've done, I mean, we're forgiven, but there's not going to be one thing that's going to remain hidden. We're going to be known, and we'll be given to us what we've done. So what's the Lord going to find in us? What's He knowing your heart, right? Only He knows your heart, and you know your heart. What's He going to find? If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Think about that. Because the moment you die, if you don't know Jesus, you're the one made choice to go straight to hell. Not me, not anybody else. It wasn't God's choice. God made the way, but it's up to us to receive that free gift and to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You do that, you die, you're going to heaven. You don't have to go through a ritualistic, you don't have to go through classes and all that. You just have to have faith and believe and receive and confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life and receive Him. And the Bible says you will be saved.